New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has shown support for the legalization of marijuana in the state, and many believe that the decision announced this past week adds to the likelihood of that actually happening. State Attorney General Gorbier Graywell, and by the way, Dennis and Judy over at 101.5, it was very easy to find out the pronunciation of the Attorney General's name. Anyway, he asked all New Jersey municipal prosecutors to adjourn all marijuana prosecutions until September 4th. He plans to use that time to develop what's being referred to as appropriate guidance in dealing with these prosecutions. My first guest today is the Clark Township Municipal Prosecutor who supports this move, here to review what is taking place and share his thoughts about it. Is also the founder of law firm J.H. Barr & Associates, John Henry Barr. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you.
And learn more about the legal services of J.H. Barr & Associates. It's jhbarr.com. We have a link set up on our website, as always, for you to check out. This was the statement by the Attorney General. By the end of August, I intend to issue a statewide directive concerning the scope and appropriate use of prosecutorial discretion in marijuana-related offenses in municipal court. Now, I guess the first question becomes then, between then and now, does this mean smoke 'em if you got it and no harm, no foul?
Absolutely not. I interpret the Attorney General's guidance to indicate that he recognizes the likelihood of legalization in New Jersey. And once that happens, the question then becomes, what do we do with all the people who are in the pipeline, who have already have pending charges, and people who could still be charged because the legalization may not have kicked in by the particular, whatever the particular bill indicate, you know, that's passed as it will kick in. So I think most people would agree that if something becomes legal tomorrow and you're caught using it today, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go ahead with a prosecution when in 24 hours the law is going to fundamentally change.
I'm sure in some small level there is probably somewhere in some municipality, somewhere in the nation, a nonviolent crime which was made illegal or made legal while people were in the pipeline. But that's kind of hard-pressed to think of an example. Can you come up with anything that compares to that?
I can, and it would have to go back 80 years to the repeal of prohibition in the early 1930s, 33, 34. We have been through this before. We had an experiment with alcohol in this country. We learned that prohibiting a substance of this nature simply doesn't work, and there are more effective ways of controlling its use and even minimizing its use than by entangling the criminal justice system in the restriction of the substance or product.
And comparing the two ideas, too, of marijuana and alcohol, when you think back to prohibition, it was supposed to be to the two main reasons, purification of people, because that was the temperance movement's idea, but it was also to get crime out of that aspect of society, but it just gave the mob much more opportunity to make much more money back then.
Yes, but at the end of the day, today, no one looks at the mob as thinking that they control the alcohol industry. You know, the liquors, hard liquors, beer, wine. It is not considered to be a mob, influenced industry, because what we've done is we've taken a product which is an inebriant. It is intoxicating, it is addictive, and it could be deadly. And what we've done is we've restricted where you can buy it, who can buy it, what age you can buy it. We've put labels on it, and we've created a regulatory framework where people are actually discouraged from using it. There's a label on each bottle. This product could be dangerous. It is not to be taken lightly. And we've created not an ideal system, because there is still abuse of alcohol, there are still alcoholics, and there is still drunk driving. But we have significantly, positively impacted it in the right direction. And I know that people like myself, and I think probably a majority of municipal prosecutors in New Jersey, agree that we would be better off legalizing and then regulating and restricting access and use of marijuana like we do with alcohol. It seemed to have created a better system. With alcohol, we think we could do the same thing with marijuana.
Which I think that second part of controlling, regulating, and limiting is the part people want to hear more details about, and that's the work in progress, which the Attorney General in part is alluding to, because if people came to the realization that legal marijuana would be treated and regulated the same way as alcohol is, I think a lot more people would be in favor of it.
I think you're probably right. First of all, I think it's important to point out that most Americans and most New Jerseyans are already in favor of it. In fact, for the first time, we now see most people in my own political party, the Republican Party, in favor of it. I did not always subscribe to this position. When I first became a municipal prosecutor in 2001, I was very much a prohibitionist. I did not see any downside to restricting marijuana and keeping it illegal. But as time went on, I began to realize that the pervasive use of this particular drug and the causation of so many people getting arrested and prosecuted was really wasting my time. I was not effectively discouraging people by prosecuting these people by prosecuting them for marijuana. I wasn't discouraging them from using. They're doing it anyway, and the only people making money were criminals. And I thought that it would be time to change that approach. And that's why in 2014 I broached the issue with my fellow municipal prosecutors. I was serving as the president of the New Jersey Municipal Prosecutors Association at the time. And to my pleasant surprise, most of them agreed with me, and we passed a resolution calling for the legalization and regulation of marijuana.
So J.H. Barr, who is the Clark Township, New Jersey Municipal Prosecutor, also has law firm J.H. Barr & Associates. On the web, it's jhbarr.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Regarding regulation, too, of marijuana, obviously it would take the criminal element out, although would it? Because as there are some people who say, the state sees this as a tax and grab as far as money is concerned. If legal marijuana is so expensive, would that indeed kill the black market?
Clearly, economics dictate that the government, in its taxation of the product, would have to tax it enough to generate a decent revenue stream, but at the same time, keep it low enough so that you're still undercutting the black market. You're probably not going to ever eliminate the black market. There's even a black market for alcohol, but it's pretty small. The government needs to take the same approach, that if you're going to tax it, fine. I think people would be happy to pay a tax as long as it's not an outrageous tax and as long as the tax doesn't really incentivize people to continue with the black market. You know, what exactly that percentage is, I don't know, but we're getting a good idea of what it can and should be by watching our friends and brethren out west in California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and Colorado. They're having a few bumps along the way, but they're realizing what they need to do in order to have an effective regulated market.
One of those bumps too includes, especially in Colorado, they've seen a dramatic increase in traffic accidents. There's no breathalyzer for driving while drugged, but like there is like driving under the influence of alcohol. Is that a concern in your regard, as far as there's no way to prevent, to at least at this point in time, to effectively ascertain driving while drugged?
There's not a way to do it as specifically and as clearly as with alcohol. However, let me say a few things about this statistic about increased accidents. First of all, the increase in accidents, in general accidents, I believe is much more likely to distracted driving than it is to marijuana-affected driving. Now, it is true that people charged with inebriated driving are more infrequently coming up with both marijuana and alcohol in their systems, and that is not a safe combination by any means. But it's been my experience, and now I'm in my 18th year as a municipal prosecutor, that alcohol-intoxicated alcohol-impaired drivers are much worse than marijuana-impaired drivers, and that's not in any way to condone marijuana impairment. I mean, no one should be taking any type of drugs or alcohol, and even prescription drugs that could affect their ability to drive. I mean, your drugs and driving simply don't mix. However, people who are using marijuana are more able to drive, and so I don't believe that you're going to see a significant increase in truly marijuana-caused accidents. In fact, the statistics that I've been reviewing lately indicate a decrease in traffic fatalities in some of these states. So while there might be an increase in accidents, which I would attribute to other things like distracted driving, my understanding is traffic fatalities are actually down in many of these states. Now, I'm not sure that means, you know, people are smoking pot instead of driving drunk. I hope that's not the case. But from what I understand, there has not been any increase. In fact, there's apparently a small decrease in fatalities.
Last point I want to bring up, too, and this is, I guess, the debate within the non-criminal marijuana camp. There are those who are proponents of legalization and others are proponents of decriminalization. What's the difference between those two concepts?
Decriminalization basically means that marijuana would still be illegal to possess and use, but you would not get arrested. Handcuffs would not be placed on you, and you would not be thrown in back of the patrol car and taken to the police station. You would simply be given a civil summons for $100, $200, maybe $500, depending on which number of offense it would be, and then you'd have to pay a civil fine for getting caught with the marijuana. The problem with decriminalization for people like myself who support full legalization is that decriminalization still leaves the industry of marijuana in the hands of drug dealers who cannot be accountable for the product that they're selling and are certainly not paying any taxes on the product that they're selling. So my preference would be, and the rest of those of us in the legalization movement, is sell it at a store. You know, put a label, put that warning label on it. Make sure people are being checked to make sure they're 21 before they purchase it. You know, have an identifiable supply chain. So if there's something wrong with the product, you know who manufactured it. You also would hopefully know what the THC level is. Just like when you buy alcohol, you know what the alcohol level is in every bottle that you purchase. It's in my view, legalization is a better and more comprehensive protective approach than simply decriminalization.
It is going to be interesting to watch as this unfolds, and the suspicion is unfolds rapidly here in New Jersey. Learn more about the law services of J.H. Barr & Associates. Their website is jhbarr.com. Mr. Barr heads that law firm as well as serves as Clark Township, New Jersey Municipal Prosecutor. Mr. Barr, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much, Chris.